People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. This is Fine Music Radio and Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. You've probably heard on our very radio station that as part of its forthcoming autumn season of Shorts, a festival of operas, Cape Town Opera will present the world premiere of Conrad Usman's Trial by Media. It's a brand new operatic work that revolves around the media's perception and complexities of the Oscar Pistorius murder trial. It's one of an intriguing trio of bite-sized operas that includes Poulenc's Les Voix Humaines and Mozart's witty comedic opera, The Impresario. And with me in the studio is Marcel Mayer, who, as you may know, is an award-winning multidisciplinary theatre artist. He works as an actor, writer, scenic and costume designer, and as director. And what I quite like is that he holds the distinction of being one of a select group of actors, along with none other than Laurence Olivier, Richard Burton, Christopher Plummer, and Jude Law, to have played the title role in Shakespeare's Hamlet at the Kronborg Castle in Elsinore in Denmark, at the world's oldest Shakespeare festival. Marcel, it's a great pleasure to welcome you here.
Thank you for having me, Rodney.
We're doing a dual thing here because I don't actually associate you with opera, and yet this is what we're talking about. We're talking about opera.
Yes, it's exciting. But that's the wonderful thing, that opera is this wonderful synthesis of all the art forms, theatre, music, visual art, design. So it's the absolute coming together of the most beautiful art forms in itself, then the most beautiful art form. So it's very exciting to be here.
Do you personally like opera? Do you sit and listen to opera?
I do. Yes, I do.
Okay. And what is your role in this?
So I am co-directing Conrad's new opera with Fred Abramser, and then I'm also the costume designer for this particular opera, for Trial by Media.
Okay. And the other two you're not involved with?
The other two I'm not involved with. So Magdalene Minnar, the artistic director of Cape Town Opera, is directing the Poulenc, La Voix Humaine. And then Elizabeth Mandel, who is a staff director at Cape Town Opera, is doing The Impresario. And then we've got one scenic designer who has designed all three operas. And then Kobus Rousseau is also the lighting designer for all three operas. And then opera has its own costume designer. So Allegra is doing the Mozart. And then Rabia, who is the wardrobe mistress for Cape Town Opera, is designing Magdalene's opera, the Poulenc. So
okay,
it's a
now,
wonderful team of people.
It does sound like a team, but what I'm quite interested in, and we must emphasize this, Marcel, is that all three operas don't run every night, do they? Just explain what happens.
No, so it's a festival format. So the world premiere would have happened this past Thursday of Trial by Media. And then the Friday night would have been the premieres of La Voix and Impresario as a double bill. And then Saturday and Sunday for the marathon lovers or the Wagner lovers,
yes,
they can do all three operas with enough break to have a drink or dinner in between. So that will be first Trial by Media, then La Voix Humaine is the center opera, and then Impresario is the closing opera. And then following week, the same cycle reruns. So on Thursday night will be only Trial by Media for people who want to just see the one. Friday night, double bill of La Voix and Impresario, and then Saturday and Sunday, all three on the same day. And they're different booking prices. So if you only book a single opera, it's slightly more expensive. You can see any one of the three as a single opera. And the more operas you add to your booking list, the cheaper they become. So it's actually more lucrative to book for all three and experience these very different, short, bite-sized, but very meaty operatic works.
I think it's important now for people listening to remember that, what we've just said, and we'll repeat it at the end so that people don't get confused when they go to the box office or whatever,
yes,
you do nowadays. And the operas, you mentioned Wagnerian proportions. I read somewhere each opera is an hour long, is that right? Approximately?
Yes. So it varies slightly over or slightly under an hour. So
okay,
hour mark is sort of the safest bet. So I think ours runs an hour 2-3 minutes. I think La Voix is slightly under an hour, and I think the Mozart's in about an hour as well.
Okay, so if you do go to all three, you're looking,
yes,
at about 3.5 hours.
Yes, it's still 3.5 hours, which is still shorter than some of the Wagners.
No rumors.
Or one of the big baddies like Don Carlos or something.
Yeah, yeah. But you like Wagner, don't you?
I do.
Let's get that right so I can allow you to stay in the studio.
No, Wagner is a wonderful composer, and he was a man of the theatre, and I think because he also wrote his own libretti, so he really understood and it was his idea that it is a Gesamtkunstwerk. Opera is the coming together of all the art forms.
Yeah. So, I do. That's why I'm interested in your role in this, because you are primarily, people know you as an actor, but you do all these other things I mentioned: actor, writer, scenic and costume designer, director. So you are one of those people who is bringing things together, especially in this production.
No, that's the incredible thing, to be able to work on a piece like this, mm-hmm. because you are drawing on your experience in the various art forms. I think that's where we're very lucky in this country, especially, is because of the complexity and the limited funding sometimes, one has to be far more inventive, and you can stretch yourself far more as an artist than you would maybe in Europe or in the States, where people tend to only have to do one thing because they're afforded the possibility because there's so many people doing it and there's such a big infrastructure.
Yeah.
Whereas here, because of limited infrastructure, the more strings you have to your bow, the more one can work. And then I think it just makes you a richer artist because you, by virtue of how we do things here, you mm-hmm. end up doing more things. So that's, in a weird way, more rewarding than working overseas.
Yeah, that's an interesting angle, actually, to remember. But just before we start talking about the individual, well, certainly about Conrad's offer, a trial by media, I just want to say one of the things that has really annoyed me is that I missed Sweeney Todd, which you did down at the bakery in
Yes, at the Olympia Bakery.
Which is finished now, isn't
that
it?
That completed its run at the end of March, yes.
But apparently a huge success.
It was an incredibly successful production. It was so visceral, and to be in an actual working bakery.
Yes.
That used to be also at the same time opened originally. The building opened as one of the first multiracial cinemas. It was a silent movie house.
Wow.
And when Stephen Sondheim was asked what, because Sweeney Todd is one of those musicals that baffle people. What is it? Is it an opera? Because lots of opera companies do it. It's a lot of singing. The proportion of singing to speaking is more singing than speaking. So it's always this big question of what is Sweeney? And it's also a horror story, which is not usually the content of musical theater. And what he finally purported was that it was a movie for the stage, because he treated the music like a cinematic composer would treat music. He was especially influenced by Hitchcock's composer, who did a lot of the scores for how music builds tension and film noir and those things. So it was this perfect synthesis of a movie for the stage in a cinema that's a bakery for a musical that's actually set for the most part in a bakery. Wow. So it was this wonderful coming together of all those yeah. elements, and that we were literally as close to the audience as I am to you right now. So it was mm-hmm. this wonderfully visceral experience all around the whole bakery.
And apparently you had a hugely successful run with lots of people coming
yes,
in.
Yes, it was packed every night, and people had a wonderful, wonderful experience hearing this incredible score so up close and personal. Mm-hmm. And that's the wonderful thing that almost in the weird way links it to Trial by Media, because we're also in the Artscape Arena, which is a wonderfully intimate venue. So you're so close to the music. You're so close to the performers. Every breath, every bat of an eyelid you will see.
Do you like that, Marcel?
Oh,
do
I
you
love
like
when,
because as a stage
theater.
Actor, do you like, you do like
it's wonderful
being close
to, be able
to the audience.
So close to the audience that you can really make that connection. I mean, it's wonderful to do big epic productions in big theaters, but mm-hmm. there's something, especially because theater is such a viscerally and live thing, and that's what makes it different from streaming or television or film, is that you are in the room with that audience, and it's that final communion with mm-hmm. the audience that makes, for me, theater the most thrilling of all art forms.
Okay, now we're going to get to the first piece of music now, because I want to talk now about this Trial by Media, Conrad's new opera. But first of all, you've chosen a bit of opera to begin.
I thought we should start with a piece of opera. So my first selection is Casta Diva from Bellini's wonderful opera Norma, and then sung by Mimi Kutzer, who is one of the first great voices to emerge out of this country. And we have had this wonderful legacy since Mimi of incredible singers coming out of South Africa and singing on every single major stage
yes.
of the world's big opera houses. Pretty endless. I mean, the list is endless, endless, endless. So I thought, as a tribute to one of the first great voices out of this country and the legacy that followed, and many of them passing through UCT Opera School and Cape Town Opera as the springboard for them
Absolutely.
To go off and have these wonderful international careers.
Let's listen to Mimi Kutzer singing Casta Diva.
Mm-hmm.
That's the voice of Mimi Kurzer, And that was Custodiva from Bellini's opera Norma with the National Symphony Orchestra. And it was the first choice of my guest, Marcel Mayer, who's talking about pocket operas, this series of shorts. And the one that Marcel is most involved with is Konrad Assmann's brand new opera called Trial by Media. And I just want to find more about that, because you obviously have an intimate knowledge of it, working with it as you are, about the Oscar Pistorius murder trial. I know how you're going to answer this question. Does it work?
It's an incredibly powerful piece from the brain of Skalk Skumbi, who recently passed away, sadly, an incredible writer who did the libretto, and then Conrad's incredible music to this very smart libretto that really interrogates how, in the age of social media, we deal with big events. Mm. So even though its legacy can trace back to the great doomed love affairs of opera, one thinks of Carmen and Don Giuse that ends fatally, or
so Pagliacci, yes,
or even Wojciech, Albumberg's Wojciech. So it has that link to that. But I think what it really, in a way, is an opera seria for the 21st century, in that if you think of both Oscar and Riva being these godlike celebrities at the time on media and social media, and then this terrible thing happens. And then, like all opera seria, where it almost interrogates justice, righteousness. And although Mozart and people wrote those operas in the Age of Enlightenment, where things were a lot clearer, Conrad and Skalk are writing an opera seria in an era of alternative facts, of
fake news. Absolutely.
And so instead of purporting any easy solution, it does what all great artwork should do, at least for me, is it makes us think and question and interrogate our relationship with our cell phones, with how quickly we just send things on without really. And in a way, the opera has almost in a meta way become prone to that, because a lot of people, when they heard what the content was, have reacted quite viscerally without really knowing what the opera is about. So I think it challenges us in terms of how we deal with this thing that hasn't been there before. And I think if opera is to remain a vital art form, which it is, mm-hmm, it should be able to reflect ideas and things that really relate to
contemporary
now. Contemporary issues. Yes. And I think this is what makes this opera so unique, in that it does. And it will hopefully find its place in the standard repertory, as I believe it should, alongside all the great. Because Madame Butterfly was a world premiere once, and so yes, was Rigoletto, and so was everything was a new piece once.
Yes. Let's just talk a little bit about the structure of this opera in this one act that you said of about an hour, just over an hour. Is it set in the courtroom, or how have they set it?
The majority of the opera is concerned with a trial, in essence, but we've chosen to stage it almost like an oratorio, so there's very little movement and very little blocking, so that for me, especially on a first hearing, the most important thing should be the music, and the drama lies in the music. So if one overstages it, I think it could be to the detriment, yes, of our engagement with what should
be. It'll be distracting.
Distracting.
Yeah.
So it's highly stylized in terms of that. And what Skalk and Conrad have done so brilliantly in this opera is that the one person who was missing at the trial was obviously the victim of those horrendous events on Valentine's Day, which is Rieva. So she appears as a spirit.
Oh, really?
At certain sections of the opera, sung beautifully by Brittany Smith. And she is actually the only one who moves in the opera. So like in a medieval morality cycle, every person in the opera has a sort of a mansion where they sort of stuck. So Oscar is in sort of a cell in the center of the stage. The media, social media, which is sung by a chorus of six voices, three female voices, three male voices, have sort of a grandstand where they grandstand from on their devices. And then the judiciary are suspended between heaven and earth in this weird place that they now find themselves in. Because so much of our understanding, but that already starts with O.J. Simpson, if you think of how the,
yes,
media pulled that trial
that
completely
is true.
Out of proportion.
Probably the first one.
The first one,
where,
yes,
the media was so involved.
So they are in this precarious position of having lost their rootedness in what they should be doing. So they're suspended above. And the only one who can meander between all these spaces is the spirit of Riva. And then we've got Kirsty Cumming, who has done these incredible projection design, video design, that's projected on these diaphanous screens. So even the content of the projections bleeds into each other. So it's visually a stunning piece just to look at. And then this incredibly powerful music.
What is the music like? Is it for orchestra, an orchestra?
No. So because we're in the arena and it's such a tiny space, it's only for voices and piano. And we've got the amazing Jose Diaz, who is the musical director
as well.
He is. And in the accompanist. And he is one of those incredible pianists who can make a piano sound like an orchestra.
So no, he's a bit of a genius.
He is incredible. And what he's got out of the singers in terms of what the vocal quality is so powerful in that room. Mm-hmm. And then how he plays Conran's incredible score. And it's a wonderfully complex, and because the subject matter is so dense and complex. And I think Conran matches that in the music he's created for this piece. And how themes appear and then morph. And
is it fairly accessible? I know some people worry about that sort of thing. But it's from what you're saying, it sounds though it's both challenging and accessible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the thing with all new music is people tend to be frightened of it because it's not familiar like Verdi, but if audiences can just allow themselves to be open to hearing new music, I think it makes you a richer person for it. And the music, especially Riva's music, is so beautiful and so haunting. And then these wonderfully dense and complex harmonies for some of the stuff that the chorus sings, because they're thematic ideas that they're grappling with are dense and complex. So it's a very smart piece of writing, both from the librettist and the composer.
Talking about a strong piece of writing just points me to our next piece of music, because you've chosen music from Capriccio, the moonlight music, by Richard Strauss, which was the last opera he wrote. I don't need to tell you that. And it's all about words versus music. And what we are saying here, what you're saying, is both are so integral. One is not superior to the other, although the orchestra is very important in Strauss's operas.
Absolutely.
As we will hear in this piece.
One of the most beautiful pieces of music ever written, I think.
Thank you.
that is actually a great favorite of mine as well. The Mondscheinmusik from Capriccio by Richard Strauss, his last opera. And he was such a superb orchestrator and wrote all those wonderful operas like Der Rosenkavalier. Oh,
beautiful, beautiful.
And
operas.
Then things like Salome and Elektra, talking about drama. My guest is Marcel Mayer. And we're talking about Cape Town Opera's production called Shorts, three operas, one of which is brand new, and it's called Trial by Media by Conrad Assmann. And before we went to the music, I meant to ask you, how big is the cast actually of Trial by Media?
So we've got, obviously, Oscar Pistorius sung by Van Wyk Venter, and then Riva sung by Brittany Smith. Then we've got the judge, the prosecuting attorney, and the defense attorney, and they are sung by Conroy Scott, award-winning Conroy Scott, who won a Fleur de Cap this year as well. And Brittany won a Fleur de Cap as well.
She did.
Many award-winning singers on our stage. And then Tyler Dlamini, who is singing the prosecutor. And then Lucy Balwa Wetu Sensati is wonderful as the judge. Because in a weird way, it's also the judge's dilemma of how you're trying to get justice to prevail. And then there is, like I said earlier, there is a chorus of six singers, three female singers, three male singers, who represent the media, who represent social media, people on social media. And also that's what Skalk and Conrad did so cleverly in the creation of this. A lot of it is actual transcriptions of the trial set to music, actual comments that were featured on social media platforms. And likewise with Reva's arias, Skalk cleverly shaped her text out of Instagram posts and things she had said and the WhatsApp messages that were transcribed. So it's an incredibly smart piece of writing, and it's viscerally challenging as a piece of theater and as a piece of music. And I think audiences are in for an incredibly moving piece.
Do you get to the point in the opera where the verdict is given that he's guilty?
Yes, and then that it was retried, and that it deals with the bigger picture. What is so smart about this opera is that Oscar and Riva almost become a metaphor for any big world event. It could be the 2016 elections in the United States, or even the 2020 elections and how people reacted that led to the storming of the Capitol.
That's
it could
right,
be
that's right.
The current war in Gaza, how that polarizes people, or the war in Ukraine. So less than being a biographical or docu-opera about Oscar and Riva, it is more about how any big world event is then judged and tried by proxy on the internet.
I was just thinking now, the other one about the same time was that Shrindwani trial, remember? Because that also gripped the public, absolutely. And then he got off scot-free. And that was another example of, I suppose, trial by media.
Yes. And the same with O.J. Simpson, like we said earlier, in the 90s.
Yeah.
How it became about what the prosecuting attorney was wearing in her hair and everything except what the trial really is about. And
yes,
how I think how we judge sometimes, especially on these devices of ours, too quickly, without the real information, without enough information, without enough understanding.
Yeah. And a lot of people are very I don't want to be rude, but naive. So if you read something, in fact I was reading this very recently in the press, or you tend to believe it. It's in writing, so you tend to believe it. And it's sort of almost plausible.
I think so. And I think we had a stronger understanding of things when we believed that news was coming from the same source. Now it's so polarized because what you see on CNN is not what you're seeing on Fox News.
Yes,
same story
exactly.
Being told, but very different perspectives.
Exactly.
And what social media also does is there's a certain, especially in a lot of those comments on things, it's under a nom de plume.
Mm.
And it's so aggressive and toxic sometimes. And we would never interact that way if we were sitting opposite each other like we are now. It's so much easier to say something horrible when you are just angry mother 202 making a comment on News24's website. So the opera interrogates that as well, and that's why I've chosen to costume, for instance, the chorus in sort of uniform all black with dark glasses. We can't see their eyes, so they are this anonymous mob who are just shouting vitriol and verdicts out into the ether,
And with their cell phones.
With their cell phones. Yeah. They've all got devices. Everyone's on devices in this opera as well. So they're constantly tweeting and sending stuff out there. And I think we really need to interrogate how we responsibly engage with this, because it is an incredible medium, what the internet is, to be able to phone someone in New York as if it is the, I mean, 20 years ago that was unthinkable.
Yes.
The cost of it, how difficult it was.
And see their picture.
And see their picture.
FaceTime.
So there are wonderful things that come with it. To be able to have access to music and art and to stream an opera from New York.
It's incredible.
It's wonderful. Yeah. But it's a bit of a Pandora's box that with all that wonderful stuff obviously comes a potential for a lot of toxic and hurtful and horrible things. And how we try and use it more for good rather than for bad. And I think that's what the opera is really trying to make us aware of.
Also, we're going to take a music break now, and I see Stephen Sondheim is coming up. Clearly you like Stephen Sondheim.
Oh.
So tell me what we're going to hear. Not a Day Goes By.
Yes, from Merrily. And I've chosen a symphonic arrangement because one tends to think of Stephen Sondheim as this great lyricist, which he absolutely was, and as this wonderful wordsmith. But often people celebrate his writing as a lyricist so much that one tends to forget what an incredible composer he was and how beautiful and moving his music is. So I've actually chosen a piece where we don't have to listen to his words as much as I love words as being an actor, but to celebrate his incredible gift for melody and his incredible gift for complex harmonics. So a beautiful piece where we can just celebrate Stephen Sondheim as this wonderful composer that he also was.
Thank you.
There we hear the music of Stephen Sondheim, as Marcel said, without the words, so that we know what a fine composer he was. He did all the music for Sweeney Todd.
He did. He wrote, and so I decided not to pick a piece from Sweeney Todd, but from the musical that actually followed Sweeney Todd, which was a huge disaster. It only ran for 16 performances on Broadway. And is now finally a huge big hit on Broadway because Maria Friedman has just done a revival and it's playing to sold out capacity. I was lucky enough to see it in New York when I was there last year. And it's an incredible musical, Merrily as well. All these musicals are wonderful.
It's called Merrily We Roll Along.
Yes. And it's told backwards in time. It starts at the end and then goes back to the
That's
beginning.
That's clever. When did he die? He died relatively recently.
Yes. Sadly. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough to also see his final musical that was produced posthumously. So even at 92, he was still on top of his game. It was such a smart and brilliant piece of...
And people sometimes forget that he wrote the lyrics for West Side Story.
He did, and Gypsy as well. So he was an incredibly talented man.
Marcel, one of the things we've concentrated on in this interview is the new opera by Conrad Usman called Trial by Media, about the Oscar Pistorius trial. And you've obviously done the costumes, and now I've been lucky, this is not television, but to see your sketches of the costumes, some of which are a little kind of, not shocking, but you've got Reva, for example, all dressed in white. Just explain, and then all dressed in red.
So there's a moment in the opera where the memory of her death is presented in a sort of a stylized way because she sings this wonderful aria. So she's all specter-like in this white, shimmering costume. And then it's the four gunshots are scored in the opera. And at that moment, the costume sort of transforms into an evening gown because Skalk sort of indicated that he wanted the sense of blood happening on a white costume. So it becomes, in a weird way, this inversion of Lucia de Lammermoor because she comes down in a white dress covered in blood of her husband who she has murdered on her wedding night. So it's this wonderful inverted Lucia and with Brittany, who's actually singing Lucia later this year as well.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
Singing this role. So it then transforms into an evening gown, and instead of being literal with the blood, I chose to transform it into an... So there's an applique of a beaded sequined red fabric that looks like blood, but it still looks like an...
And does it happen live on stage?
It happens live on stage. So the three gunshots, and just before the fourth one happens, it instantly transforms into a different dress, basically, in front of the audience's eyes.
My goodness. And then, as you said, I see, as you said, that the chorus, the three men and the three women, are in black with black glasses.
Yeah, so they become the sort of anonymous mob. Mm-hmm. And then our judiciary also, obviously, in the traditional judicial garb that you would have in a South African court, which are the black gowns with the little barristers' neck pieces.
That's right.
And then Oscar, just in the iconic black and white suit that he
as we
wear
saw
at
him.
The trial. Yes. So the only color as well on stage, and like we said, the only one who moves about the stage, is Reva. So her first costume for the prologue section of the opera, which is set in Valentine's Day, is this incredible costume appliqued with about 300 silk and organza roses with an enormous train. So she becomes this walking embodiment of romance and Valentine's Day. And then her next costume is the one we've just discussed, which changes, and then her final, she's in a very... We won't give it away.
Because no, don't.
That's a gold costume.
It's a costume. Trick, actually, not to give away.
So it's will be a wonderful moment when that final costume is revealed.
It sounds as though there are moments in this which are designed to take your breath away.
I think so, and I think that's what makes opera such an incredible art form, is that, like we've said, it's a synthesis of fashion,
all
of visual art, of music, of drama, of poetry. And our need to sing our stories is so primal. We've been doing it longer than we've spoken our stories.
We have, indeed.
All great traditions of ancient theatre are lyric theatre. We think of Noh or Kabuki from Japan or Beijing opera. And even the ancient Greek plays were sung more than they were spoken. So only late in Western we get this divide. But most other theatre traditions in the world, we sing our stories. And I think there's something so primal when we hear it done or see it done that makes opera so powerful.
Marcel, you've chosen as your next piece an aria from La Rondine, Puccini's La Rondine. Now tell me why you've chosen. I see we've got René Fleming.
René Fleming, obviously one of the great voices of the 20th century and 21st century. And because how can one speak about opera and not have Puccini in the room?
That's true.
Because also this incredible gift for melody and orchestration and harmonics, and because it's such a beautiful aria for a female voice, but slightly lesser known, as opposed to Butterfly Tosca or one of his more famous operas.
Yes, yes.
And the wonderful notion that it was sort of commissioned initially as a Viennese operetta and then turned into what?
An Italian opera.
An Italian
opera.
A real
Italian opera. Let's listen. An aria from Puccini's La Rondine with René Fleming there and the English Chamber Orchestra with Geoffrey Tait. Another choice of my guest on People of Note, Marcel Mayer. And we're talking about Shorts, a series of three pocket operas that Cape Town Opera are calling, which is on at the Arena and which in fact opened this past weekend. And sound, we've been concentrating on Trial by Media, the new opera by Conrad Usman. Do you know the other operas, by the way?
Oh, yes. You know, incredible pieces.
Because they're not, neither of them is tragic, is it, in a sense? Or is it? I certainly don't know the...
La Voix is a beautiful piece. It started off as a play by the wonderful Jean Cocteau.
Oh, yes, yes.
And it's a monodrama. So in the play, it's a woman on a telephone speaking to her lover at the end of a relationship. And then Poulenc sets it to this incredible music for a solo opera voice. And we've got award-winning Anel Fasahi sings the woman in Lavoie. And Magdalene has put an interesting twist on this particular production of Lavoie, in that in most traditional productions, it's a woman on a phone speaking in real time to her lover who is sort of ending the affair. And then she sort of decides, does she want to end her life because of this? And Magdalene had gone through quite an experience when a close family member went through dementia before passing. Mm-hmm. And for this particular production, it is played as if the woman is suffering from dementia. So she's conjuring up her lover and these conversations in her mind rather than on a literal telephone. So it's a tour de force for Yanel, who is just the most incredible actress and singer. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Poulenc's that beautiful French music.
Yes.
And also José Díaz is the musical director for that. So that is a must-see. And then the final piece is a wonderful piece by Mozart, a short little piece where, as always, the arts are in trouble and how do we raise funding to do things? And then the battling divas. So it's all that vocal pyrotechnics that one associates with Mozart, especially his writing for soprano and the female voices. So that's the lighter piece in the mix. So it's a wonderful mix of different styles of music, of different content. Mm-hmm. So,
and Marcel, if you go and see all three together, the Trial by Media comes first.
Yes. So Trial by Media is always first, then the Poulenc, and then the Mozart.
Mozart to end.
To end just on a nice light
as we
note.
End our light note for our interview, having discussed a fairly serious issue. Marcel, just remind us of the way it's going to work, the one night.
So Thursday evenings, or the Thursday evening will be only Trial by Media. Then the Friday evening will be a double bill with about a half an hour break between Lavoie and then Impresario. So you can choose to see either, or they scheduled at different times, but you could do it on the Friday night as a double bill rather than single operas. And then Saturdays and Sundays, you have the potential or possibility to see all three. So it'll be on those days, Trial by Media will be the first opera, there'll be a break. Lavoie, second opera break. Impresario, third opera break.
And all in, and you mentioned something earlier that didn't occur to me before, how restricted you could be in the arena, because you spoke very enthusiastically about how you like being so close to the audience, but then that doesn't have flies and things, because the arena is pretty small.
No, it is small, and but it's an incredible space, because it is, in essence, the side stage of the drama theater. So unlike most studio spaces, you've got that wonderful height.
Because it is very high.
It's very high. So you can get a wonderful sense of epic grandeur in a chamber space. It's one of my favorite spaces in Cape Town to work in as a designer and as an actor. So
I know that you and Fred have produced.
We've done quite a lot of work at the arena. So
yeah, I know you've done a few of the Tennessee Williams plays, which I've seen with you in it, and used the space so well.
No, it's an incredible space. It's a wonderful space for designers to work in. And Allegra has created an incredible set that serves all three. So the basic elements are the same, but they all change around. So each opera has its own unique look while working with elements that are common to all three. So it was a great challenge for her as a designer to realize three completely different operas. So I think for the audience, it's going to be an incredible experience to just see how much creativity and talent is available in this city.
I'm going to try and do all three together.
Oh, yes. A little mini ring.
I'm a seasoned Wagner enthusiast. So, Marcel, thank you very much for being so enthusiastic. Are you able to say what your next project is? Because I'm always intrigued what you and Fred are up to.
Yes, it's quite a big and busy year. So straight after this, we go into rehearsals for our new production of Hamlet, not the one that went to Denmark. We've subsequently done a whole new one with new designs and new cast. That opened at Artscape last year, had its world premiere here, and that is going straight from here to one of the biggest Shakespeare festivals in the world in Romania. Mm-hmm. It's their 30th anniversary, so they've got an incredible lineup of some of the world's greatest directors, the late Peter Brook, Richard Wilson, incredible lineup of plays from all over the world. So our Hamlet will be on that lineup, which is a great honor. And then one of the Tennessee Williams that we premiered last year at a world premiere in America, which is an adaptation of one of his novellas, is going to Dublin, to Ireland. And then Hamlet comes back to Artscape. So there's plenty, plenty, plenty to
see. Okay, well, we'll try and keep up with you, Marcel. But in the meantime, best of luck. It sounds like this is going to be amazing. And thanks for really whetting our appetites.
I hope so. Because people are sometimes scared of new work. But if I can just encourage theatre lovers and music lovers to
come along.
To be brave enough and come along.
You're ending with Richard Rodgers from Carousel.
Yes, the ballet from that, because ballet in itself is a wonderful art form. And then Richard Rodgers is also one of the great melodists of the 20th century.
Yeah.
And this is the pas de deux section of the ballet, and it's to that glorious theme of If I Loved You, which they sing in the first act, the two lovers.
Let's end with that. Marcel Mayer, thank you.
Thank you for having me, Rodney.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.